What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Barbershop Talk. You got Larry here, man. First L, I'm going to take this one. I predicted it in the preseason. this was our one loss I predicted. And came true, but I predicted nothing but wins from there forward. So y'all ain't got to hate me just yet. But yeah, we're going to get into it, man. We're going to look back on that game. You know, see what went wrong in our humble opinions and just look forward to the Stanford game. See if we can do it, them guys from up north couldn't quite handle it. See if we can take care of business against the mighty Redwoods or whatever it is, Paul. I don't know what that shit is. I just know it's like a Christmas tree looking, man. That's a wild fucking mascot. But we'll get into it. Anyways, no Measy today. He out coaching youth. Something or other. You know, he always giving back to the kids. So he out doing that. But we do have the real field general in the building. X, say what's up to the people.
What's up, what's up, what's up? Man, we took an L, man. That thing. I'm disgusted. I ain't got nothing to say about that, man. it was even harder to watch it in person because that team is nowhere near. We shouldn't have been on the field with that team. I'm gonna just say that. But we here, yeah. Man. New week. Let's get 1-0.
1-0 once again. The better team definitely didn't win the game, but you know, got outplayed and outplayed ourselves. So, D-Rob,
what's happening? What up?
The show pessimist.
Man, look here. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. Same thing.
Yeah.
But again, new week, you know. Yeah, man, we don't get into it. Like, it's a whole lot I got to say. So, yeah.
Yeah. Get right into it, man. Jumped out the gate, and the boys got in their bag deep, man. Louisville was, you know, it's something we got to look forward to. For the rest of the year, man, teams going to fear us. Like, it's beyond just, like, we being people's, you know, quote-unquote Super Bowl. Teams tend to get up for Miami in general. But now I think the extra factor that we have to really play into is there's a legit fear now. It's not just, oh, we want to embarrass them because we're tired of hearing about them. And they ain't done nothing in forever, right? Like, that's the narrative, which is fine if you on the field. I get that for sure. But now, you know, they feeling like, all right, we got to steal possessions in order to win these games. Like, we're not going to be able to just, you know, some teams especially are just like a Louisville, aren't going to feel like they could just line up and go toe-to-toe with us. So we saw that right out the gate. What did y'all think about, like, you know, that opening sequence? They hit us with a – two quarterbacks on the first play, second play was a Wildcat. What was y'all thoughts when you saw that?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically what we all know. You know what I'm saying? Like you just said, teams ain't going to be able to come out and just, oh, man, we got better players than them, so we just going to beat them. So they got to do things, you know, to get us off our game plan. You know, like you said, two quarterbacks coming out in the play. The first score, they go out and a fake field goal for the touchdown. You know, it's just things like that. You know, then throughout the game, they realize, okay, well, hey, they playing man. Let me get my guy coming, running drags across the field because they obviously playing man. It's probably no linebacker in the middle of the field. They ain't got nobody in the zone coverage. Yeah, so that's something we can expose because it's wide open. So, you know, we let them jump out on us, got our coach early on, and we just, I'm not going to say we didn't make adjustments. We simply made bad plays, you know what I'm saying? Because we had opportunities to take leads. We had opportunities to you know, especially offensively. Once the defense settled down, we had opportunities. But shouts out to Coach Brom. He does an excellent job. When he's coaching against the odds, he does an excellent job. I seen something say like he's 6-0 against something top something teams. I don't know. I seen something like that.
He was 3-2 against top five teams, and then after this one, he's 4-2 against top five.
Okay. So 4-2. Yeah,
he good at being that, playing that spoiler role, you know. And we knew that, and that's kind of how I had that upset in the first place. Preseason, he worried me just because I know how he could get. What you got, D Rob? I know, like I said, that was a little crazy. Look out the gate. What was your gut when you seen that right out the rip?
When I saw that, like, I was like, yeah, Braun about to get in his bag, because just to be like perfectly honest, as a play caller / head coach, play caller, he is top five. I would probably put him probably at number one. I don't see another head coach / play caller. That includes Lincoln Riley. That includes Lane Kiffin, Ryan Day. It includes all them. I think that Brom is the best because he does it, and he does not have the talent that they have on their rosters. Right. You cannot tell me that his roster, we know it's not better than Ohio State. We know it's not better than USC, and we know it's not better than Ole Miss. You know what I'm saying? He neutralized our pass rush. Like, he neutralized them. Yeah. Quick two seconds, get that ball out. 2 seconds, get that ball out. Like, it was quick passes. It was nothing deep. If you watch the whole game, they got nothing deep. The only thing they broke that one where Chris Bell caught the little thing, and you know what I'm saying? He split the safeties or whatever and whatever. But like, man, you know, he did
it. That was an underneath throw. Like I said, still wasn't no deep shots.
Yeah, it wasn't no deep shots. So he has the blueprint, but the thing is, everybody's not Jeff Brom. That's why I ain't worried. So excellent play call. Excellent. When they jumped out 14-0, I was like, oh yeah, this honestly, I was like, yeah, this is about to get ugly, bro. I'm like, we off another bye week. Yeah, it didn't. It was like, we off another bye week. He's off a bye week. Like, you cannot give Jeff Brom 2 weeks to scheme against us. Now, if it would have been like a week, then okay, got it. Some of that stuff we probably wouldn't have seen. But if you got 2 full weeks to scheme,
work out some plays.
Yeah, yeah, man.
And I'm gonna tell you the funny thing, right? So, you know, it's always okay, man. They jump out of, oh well, the whole narrative is, oh well, the team don't look like they got up for the game, or that wasn't true. You know, the team was up. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you say, man, when they came out with all, they came out with everything new. I get it. Coaches are supposed to do their job. They got to coach regardless if a team coming out with new stuff or old stuff. Coaches got to do their job. I think it was just like the team, they looking at this stuff like, hold on, man, what? They finna do, like, you really thinking like they finna really do this? Like, they finna call a play with two quarterbacks on the field, and then it happens. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So again, even like certain players, they like, man, it just was on us, man. We didn't execute the right way, going out there doing certain things defensively. When they got up, you know what I'm saying? We just was like, okay, well, let's figure this out and then get it going. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, because I mean, even throughout the season, you know, teams will drive down the field, but they won't score. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, they driving. Okay, yeah, we going to bend, but we ain't going to break. You know what I'm saying? But they doing all this. Oh, damn. They finna go for a fake field goal. It was just, oh, man. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, we just.
And the opportunity was there even then. You know, I felt like you said, execution was. Wasn't on point. Early on, I definitely thought the defense was caught off guard, which was fair. I mean, opening script from a great play call is going to be tough to, you know, to defend anyways, right? And I'm always comfortable with a team getting an early drive on my team. It's all about the adjustments from there. But, you know, it was just some of our execution was just missing. Like, on that, you know, on that opening drive, Like Isaac Brown broke off like a 30-yard run, right? That should have been more like a 12 to 15-yard game, but then you had like over, you had like a whiff by six, you know, Lucas kind of whiffed on him. And then seven, he just over pursued, and then he ended up gaining like another 15 yards on that play. And you know, these are the little things that add up to, you know, that field position game, right? So that's how they got a little further down. You know, they put together a decent drive. That's when they go for the fake field goal, which Mario said they was prepared for. He said in his press conference they were prepared for it. And you know, Maul said in the chat, and I said it. I was at home, too. I said, watch the fake, because I know teams ain't going, like, nah, we got to steal seven right here. Nah, we too close. We'll live with if this fake don't work. You know, cool. We got them pinned against, you know, we would have been at, like, the three or something like that. If this play doesn't work. So, yeah, they're going to take those shots early on with us because they want to jump. The one thing that stood out to me about that play as well was, like, it kind of let me know how guys was a little confused because, like, Jacoby Thomas made the tackle, right, and the guy was just short. And he was, like, celebrating. And I was like, dog, that's the first down. And he was celebrating like we just got a turnover on down. I was like, oh, man, yeah, we got to get out here and turn around and get back in the game. Like, it's not.
Yeah, I think, okay, so on that play, and I think I just walked upstairs on that play because I was downstairs in the media room. So on that play, I mean, I thought everybody, even us, we thought it was okay. Well, they can't get a first down. We didn't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when they got going on down,
at home, I'm like, that's a first, bro.
But listen. When you're looking at it from the press box, it's like, okay, well, there's no possible way they could get a first down. And then when they like, oh, yeah, it's the first down, I'm like, well, what the hell? Hold on. You know, it's looking like, oh, okay, well, yeah, I didn't know they had like a whole yard to give them the first down. So I was like, yeah. Oh, damn. Yeah,
definitely a little confusion there. Then QB sneak, they got up 7-0. You know, and then it was our chance to, you know, fight back. And first possession, you know, we not moving the ball particularly, you know, nothing's happening per se, but we got like a little halfway decent run. Then Maui Noah got a personal foul for that push. What was on your mind with the push, D-Rob? When I saw it, real quick for you to respond, when I saw it on the replay, I didn't catch it live, I was like, oh, wow, great acting job. And I still think great acting job, but he also can't go for the okey-doke like that.
Yeah, I said the same thing, man. Like, you can't fall for that okey-doke, man. And you know, if you even tap something, they're going to fall over and look at the ref and point their finger, and the ref going off reaction, go throw the flags. Like, yeah, man. Like, once I seen that, I was like, oh, gosh. But this is what we going to do? Like, don't make me turn this off before the first quarter. Like,
you can't turn it off.
Yeah, and I was like, you know what? I'm about to hate watch something else, man. I'm not about to watch this, bro. Like, we ain't doing this, man. I've been saying it. I've been telling y'all. I was like, why hate us off bye weeks? Like, I get it. Yeah, we got up for Florida State, and we did our thing. But back to back bye weeks. Like, ugh, man, it was terrible.
And like I said, honestly, I blame the team. Yeah, I blame the players. You know what I'm saying? But again, I don't think they was good. I think they was ready. I just think they didn't execute because they just seen a bunch of stuff that they were like kind of shocked at seeing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Again, like I said, I tweeted this out. I said, man, you know, excuse me. All season, our secondary hasn't been put to the test. And I was joking about it because I was trolling, you know, that other trash team. But I was like, yeah, you know, they ain't really been tested. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've been playing good because nobody's been able to get, you know, like, the defensive line, they on them.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like D-Rob said, man, listen, Brom figured that out fast. He like, listen, Moss, get that ball out your hand and 1 second. Don't keep that ball in your hand. Get it out. And that was the game plan. If you keep it longer, guess what? They coming.
Right.
And he figured that out like first first drive, hey, get the ball out your hand. Do not keep it. Because they coming in. Next thing you know, man, you got Bill running all across the field. And nobody touching him. And, you know, it was just, like I said, it was just one of those games, man, where we adjusted, but we adjusted a little too late. Well, I would say offensively. Defensively, I think the defense did that thing where they adjusted it, then slowed everything down. Offensively, it was just I'm going to go ahead and speak on that. Offensively, I think Beck just thought he had a lot going on where he could just out-throw a defense. Because if you look at all the passes he was throwing, the interception, the three, I'm gonna say the three. If you look at the three interceptions before the last one, it just looked like he thought he could outthrow him, and he didn't look at the fact that they was playing two safeties high. You know what I'm saying? He didn't look at the fact that underneath was open all game. He just ain't look at that. You know what I'm saying?
He was pressing when it wasn't time to press. You know, wasn't trying to take those shots. It was like, brother, it's a lot of football left, and you're heaving up shots as if we need one play to break this game back open.
I think that's what got in his head too, figuring that just trying to win the game right then and there. So every throw, it was like, let me just win the game instead of saying, hey, all we gotta do is just drive down the field, score. You know what I'm saying? We in the game, or we take the lead, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's what he needed to figure out, but he kept, you know, basically like, man, I gotta win the game on every throw I throw now.
Right, which is just don't make sense because that hasn't been, you know, we don't need hero ball. You can play within the system and get things going. After that personal foul, we end up going three and out, and then they come out. Then they hit us with three quarterbacks right after the punt. I'm like, holy shit. I was cussing them out. They're like, all right, coach. Goddamn, man. What the hell are we doing out here? Three quarterback, and none of them was lined up at QB. I think they snapped that one straight to Kyron Lacy or whatever, something like that. It amused me / irritated me. I kind of felt like Michael Irvin when he was talking about Florida State. He's like, all that tricky-ass shit. He's like, man, play some football. I that was my mentality, too. But off that next possession – Bell was able to take that crosser to the house. He just took it across the field, turned upfield. Funny enough, I said, you know, I don't know if he don't make it or not, but Poison couldn't get him. So then he like shoved Lucas at his feet. I was like, yo, I don't know if that's the play right there, brother. he might have had a shot at him. I don't know. He would have. And even if he does, he probably only stops him at like the three or something. But, yeah, that put them up 14-0. And, you know, at this point, we still got a game. It's still all first quarter. Now, it's looking spooky, and it's like, all right, man, what the hell going on? We got to settle in and figure some stuff out, which we did. Next possession for us, we got a little movement with the ball, took a big shot to Tim. Malachi broke off a nice big run. Big catch, excuse me. Got us all the way downfield. And then from there, Fletcher was able to punch it in. And it's 14-7. And this is why I thought once the second quarter came about, this is when I think the defense really started to settle in and slow them down. In which there's plenty of time. You're only in the second quarter. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot to be positive about it at this point if you switch things around. And it's just, again, we started again with the penalties again, though. And some of them were silly. You know, we get the ball. We held them, and they punted to us, right? And we was already, like, on the seventh after the punt. Then we go for a run, and it was a decent pickup. It's a pretty good pickup. I think it might even been a first down. And then they called Malachi for a personal foul. for taunting, I guess. He blocked some kid into the ground and then stood over him afterwards.
Oh, we never got to see it on TV. That was a bogus call, man.
Was it? Because I like, we couldn't see it.
Bogus. It was Malachi was just, he blocked him too hard. That's what the call was. He blocked him too hard.
Right. And we didn't get to see it from the TV version. So I was like, well, all I saw was him driving through and run through his face. And yeah,
They replayed that thing about 20 times up top, man. And I was like, okay.
Bullshit call. That don't even seem like him.
Can you block too hard? I'm like, what the hell you giving them a flag for? But listen, once they threw that first flag of the game, I say, uh-oh, here they go. I like, yeah, this is gonna be a long night because they just the flag like it's finna come out a lot against us, Miami.
It definitely felt that way on that one. And I felt like, this is funny what you said, I felt like they knew the shit was bullshit because they didn't replay it to us on TV. So at home, we don't get to see because typically they'll show you like, this is why, you know, because they re-showed the Mount Noah one. And I was like, well, let me see, because I like to always judge myself. Like, what did he do? They wouldn't even show us at home. I was like, man, that was bullshit ass call.
Even with the with the punt return, like they right there. The man is right there on the side, and he sees Mally ain't raise his hand or nothing.
Nah,
see the fair catch at? I'm like, wow.
Yeah, he's like raising his hand as he kind of judging the ball a little bit and running up to catch it.
That man, bro, that was the worst. When that happened, I said, oh yeah, we in for one of them days. Yeah, we in for one of them days. When I saw that happen, bro, I was like, yeah, we in for one of them days, bro. Because there's no way you looked at that and said that he put up his hand for a fair catch, bro.
I was living.
Because that was good part. If you look at it.
I wanted to leave the press box and run on the field and grab the ref like, did you not? What the hell are you looking at? Are we looking at the same thing? Because the whole stadium was going crazy because they were like, what the hell? It was just one of those. It was one of those games where we allowed them to dictate the outcome of the game. That's it. We lost it because we allowed them to dictate it instead of us being the dictators. You know what I'm saying? We should have dictated the game. Even after they went up 14-0, we come down, let's go 14-7. Now we could dictate the game from here on out because we basically defensively slowed them down the rest of the game. And it was just, you know, we just kept allowing them no bad penalties, man. Bet just not making the right reads and stuff like that. We just allowed them to dictate the game. And shouts out to Louisville. You know what I'm saying? They did everything they needed to do to win. You know, we just didn't do it, you know, so.
Yeah. After that penalty pushes back, after it wiped off a first down, then Beck, that's the one Beck threw into the triple coverage, which the guy made a great play on the ball. Like, it was like an over-the-shoulder interception where he dove for it and came up the rock, and I was like, damn, that's a good pass. I mean, good catch, excuse me, good interception. But
you talk about the one that was the one to Malachi.
The first one. Yeah, the first one to Malachi. And the problem I had with that one was A, I was like, bro, it's triple coverage. And B, Marion was wide open for a touchdown on the left side of the field. Like, if he just hits Marion right there's not a soul by him. Not a single solitary soul. And he's gone. And I'm like, that's the pass you decided to make. Which scared me. I was like, I think I even said in the chat, I was like, all right, Beck, don't come here with that Cam Ward shit. You know, like, you're not Cam. And that's one of Cam's faults. That's something he has to continue to work on in his game, is not taking the check. Because even I wouldn't even necessarily call that Marion one a check. It still was downfield and nobody was there. Nobody, man. He missed a wide open touchdown on that play.
I don't like how Beck I'm gonna say, and it's kind of been all season. Like, he puts a lot of air under the ball. Like, you know, it's a difference from, okay, man, listen, that guy's wide open. I gotta put this air under the ball so I don't overthrow him. you know, he was just putting a lot of air under the ball this whole game. I'm like, okay, man. All right, man. Come on now. Yeah. You know, just if you throw it, it's not going to be an interception. There's only one way for somebody to catch the ball, and that's us, and it's going to hit the ground. Like, literally. Right, right. But,
and those weren't – that was the problem with the picks he threw to me. I felt like these are bad passes. Like, you know, picks are going to happen, but these are some bad passes. Which is about to say, D-Rob?
Man, I kind of forgot. It kind of slipped my mind because I got cut off. Man,
it come back to you. Just holler.
Yeah,
it was just. I think we're just talking about in regards to the to that one interception where Marion was wide open.
Oh, I know. I get it now. What I'm about to say, man, it seems like it's being very uncharacteristic because he's early. The previous games, he's taking those checkdowns. He's standing the field. I feel like he was trying to do too much, and he didn't have to. Because even when he threw that bomb to Malachi Toney, which they should have called pass interference because he basically got dragged, like he basically got grabbed from behind when they made that interception, when he threw that pass. Mm-hmm. Like, you had those two, you had, what, the running back and whoever was on the other side, they was wide open. Like, take it. It's first down. You just got the ball. It's first down. Take what they give you. Like, stop doing that.
Well, no, that one, I think, that was the third. Because we just took that penalty. But either way, just make the right read. That wasn't the right read. You have three guys in the cloud fading back right there because they in zone. And that's how, like, Marion was wide open on his left side because nobody was in that zone over there. Yeah. They just knew he had a tendency to try to pick on the middle of the field with his deep shots too. So, you know, they can't prepare shots to them for knowing some of his poor tendencies. You know, and just like X said, that tendency to hang the ball up a little bit and want to take it down the middle of the field all the time. Because, like I said, I just rewatched the game right before we got on here, and I saw it when it was live, and I was like, "Yo, why did he not throw to Marion, bro? Marion was just sitting there chilling. He waved at him too, but by then it was too late. He done lofted in the air. You know, but the thing about it too was even after that, the defense still was buckled down because they didn't score. They didn't score, I don't believe, off of any of the turnovers. You know, like after that, they got the ball back. Bell had got like a nice little game. Keontae Scott sacked, forced another punt, and then he'll go back again. Another opportunity. Now, I think this one was first down, D-Rob. I'm almost certain this was first down. If not, it was early on in down. He gave the ball right back.
Yeah,
he throws one to, I believe he goes to Marion this time. Yeah, he did. He's going to Marion.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He throws that to Marion.
He throws it high inside.
Yeah,
I'm like, what is that?
Bad pass, man. Like bad too much pass. Down the ball. The man is outside, so all you gotta do is throw it towards the sideline.
Either him or nothing. It's either wide receiver makes the play or it goes out of bounds. Not hang it up high. And just let the ball flow. I mean, it looked like a pass to the DB on that one. And I'm just like, yo, fam. And again, it's kind of like D-Rob was saying earlier, oh, it's going to be one of them nights. Like, the way he was placing the ball, like the same thing he's talking about the refs, I was like, oh, it's going to be an uncomfortable night because it looks like we're going to be dealing with our quarterback being a little careless with the rock tonight. And he absolutely was.
I think on two of those interceptions, I want to question Beck. He tapped the ball. You know, I hate that. I hate the quarterback tapping the ball, man. Just get rid of the ball. Stop the goddamn tapping the ball. Like, when I see quarterbacks tap the ball, just me. It may just be me. I don't know if anybody else feel the same way. When I see quarterbacks tap the ball, I just feel like something bad about that happened. Like, get the ball out your
hand. Or watch that from now on. Tap before the pitch.
This ain't no goddamn 1980s with quarterbacks had to tap the ball and throw the ball to Jerry Rice down. Nah, man, this is 25, man. Stop tapping the ball. Get the ball out your hand. Oh, well, man.
That was the thing. So, again, the defense held up. We get a punt after that other pick. And then that was the bogus fair catch infraction. We get the ball. Let's see what happens then. Oh, they call that real bad hold on CJ Daniels. that erased a nice game by Shamar Brown. But that was negated by the next play. Tony, our offensive MVP of the game. I mean, he was crazy. He went crazy. He ripped off, I think that was like that 60 yards on the next play. So the football guys kind of negated that bad call on him. But they held us to to 3 points, and that's when it was 14-10. Going to the half, we get the ball back to start the next half. We end up getting bad position on that because we got a holding on Chase Smith on the kick return. Now, I think this is why I felt like the team was maybe pressing a little too. I don't even think Marion should have necessarily took that one out to begin with. But he did. And then we got that hold. Measy, I don't know. Was you talking just then? We can't hear you. Yeah, you're not your audio not coming through. But so that starts us off on bad field position again, and that was a quick three and out. So I think at this point the theme was we weren't able to kind of get our offense rolling the way we like to. And this is something that the fan base has kind of been, you know, bellyaching about, rightfully so. And, you know, like, D-Rod, I want to hear your thoughts because I know I got mine too. But what's your thoughts on, you know, our team is predicated off of the run, right? But we've been getting stifled. And I feel like it's just not enough variety in our run play calling. What's your thoughts?
I agree. I don't know why. I think last year we were like the number one and number two team in the country. We were running in between, like between the guard and the center or whatever the case may be. Like, why? Like, bounce it outside. Like, do something. You have Shamar Brown, who's actually pretty good, and he got a little speed to him. And then you got your speedler and Jordan Lyle. Bounce those guys. Run the zone. You know what I'm saying? Do something. Like, our run concepts suck. Like, let's just be honest with you. They're not good. Or if they're good, like, the offensive line is not blocking. Because it seems like they're just running behind into the butt of one of the offensive linemen. And then, like, they're getting pushed 5, 6, 7 yards downfield. And everybody's all hyped and, you know what I'm saying, about it. And it's like, come on, man. Like, hit, like, open up them holes, you know what I'm saying, in the offensive line and you know, get through there or bounce it out. I have not seen a toss. A sweep. I have not seen nothing.
No.
Since Shannon Dawson. I have not seen not one toss.
Nah. I don't think we should toss them too.
A counter. Yeah. I ain't seen a counter. I haven't seen nothing. What Louisville was doing when they had the ball, when Isaac Brown was breaking, man, he was breaking those runs. I'm like, yo, that is like the perfect. Like, why don't we do that? It's like, bro, like, and Dawson said it, like, yeah, I think I got to get creative with the packages. Duh, like, bro, you can't look and see, like, it's the same thing every week.
It's all
week.
Tackle. Yes. All tackle. And it's my thing. If it's working, like it did work a lot last year. Now, it's not sexy, right? But we was always good for positive yardage, which always kept us in good down and distance. I'm good with that. It, because it's still effective football. I think our team is modeled like offensively a lot like kind of Michigan was or has been recently, where we want to be tough and we want to be physical at the point of attack. I love that. I got no issue with that. However, you got to get flexible when it ain't working. You know what I mean? Like, okay, the shit not working. So, you know, all that execute better. I'm like, yeah, but you got to remember the other guy getting paid too. So if they like, hey, it's a run. Everybody just pile up to the cap and we'll bring them down. Then you got to get in your bag a little bit. And that, that's my biggest criticism of Dawson so far. I'm not asking you to reinvent the wheel. You know, like you said, D-Rob, throw me a counter in there every once in a while or a verse. I think we got the athletes on O-line to do some, man, what about a pulling guard? You know, like, why not swing one of these big fellas around to the other side and let them get to work? These are some big athletic physical dudes, and I don't think we're totally taking advantage of that. I don't mind when it's working, you know, cool. I'm not going to criticize something that's being positive and getting us positive yardage. And like I said, it worked for us all last year. We were top three in the nation in running. Cool. Shit ain't working as good this year, man. So you got to adapt to what the teams are adapting to you. This constant execute better. I'm like, yes and no. Because if you're outnumbered, and these guys, again, they're paid. These guys are big. These guys are physical. You ain't running up against 10th graders. These other grown men, too. These other 20, 22-year-old guys, too. And these are other coaches that are saying, hey, we're not going to let them beat us that way. So get in your bag a little bit. You know, you can stick to your bread and butter without abandoning who you are as a as an offense and as a, an offensive coordinator. So that is where I graded him poorly for this game. I think that, yeah, he didn't take advantage of the opportunity to just adapt earlier. Just adapt some of these things earlier. Meezy, you want a mic check real quick?
Yo.
Okay, we can hear you now. Meezy joined us, y'all. He's through helping the community, coaching.
Yeah, man. My fault, I'm late, y'all, boy. Yeah,
I'm not a man. Hey, listen, the man's a man of the community, the man of the people. Take care of the kids. You know, we need somebody out here, you know, a strong black role model, man.
Yeah, man, I had to take care of some shit. I had a little flag football game, AD duties. I got to be at every game, whatever. But, yeah, man, so I want to
You was all-time quarterback?
Oh, nah, man. You know what's crazy? Hey, Larry, you know what's crazy, bro? Our quarterback, we won, but our quarterback was kind of tripping. I was like, God damn, I wish I can go out there and just, God damn, just throw a little 5 yard out. That's all we need right here to steal the game.
Get the last time. I thought of that.
I promise you I thought of that. But I wanted to piggyback off of something you just said, though. You would think Mario being an offensive line coach, he played the position. You would think we would have more running plays in our packages, but we just don't, which is weird to me. I know Dawson's an OC, but I mean, come on now.
Now, I was going to say, you know, that's the thing, and that's what we kind of got to, you know, because – we gave an ex told us, you know, just from being around the program pretty closely and seeing things, he's really taking more of a CEO approach. And I admire that. I got no problem with that. But I do think as a CEO, you still got to sit down with the, you know, the arms of your company and say the branch of the company and say, hey, look, man, just ain't working. So I ain't gonna tell you exactly what to do, but yeah, you got to figure out something to mix this up a little bit just to get us more productive.
Yeah, Dawson been such a good offensive coordinator for us. He probably feels like he doesn't have to take that approach. But the last three games, we ain't been running that ball
less than 100 yards. Like, that's not it.
We running into a wall.
Right. We just running into our own players, and all of their guys are selling out to whichever side they decide, you know. And that tells me something, too, that it's predictable, too, because they know where to go.
I mean, we know where we're running the ball.
Right. So, of course, these guys getting paid to know which way the damn ball going, and they just pile up. You know, and you know, I like the discipline of the running backs to not try to do too much and take losses or whatnot by, you know, reversing the field. But it's like something got to shake, man. So, that's my biggest criticism on him and something I hope he, you know, adapts to somewhat before. Let's move down the game a little bit further. We got a 3-and-out off of that last possession I was talking about. That Louisville turned the short field into they was able to get a short field off of that one. They didn't move the ball really well, but they moved it enough to get up 17-10. Who that? Meezy getting down there with that damn paper bag? Yeah, I think that was you. All right, you good now. you know, defense stayed locked in, man, and continue to hold them, you know, to a reasonable score to give us a chance to win that game. We was putting together a little short drive there, and we had a 3rd-and-2, and this again hit the penalty bite. This again, this is the other big area that, like, the coaching has got to get – this shit has got to go away. Akinlola comes in on 3rd-and-2. The guys on defense shift. He goes into a false start. And then, you know, that made it a 3rd-and-7. So now it's a throwing down instead of we getting a 3rd-and-2. I'm confident about converting 3rd-and-2. But goes to 37. And then we fail to convert there. And settle for three, and then 17 to 13. So we still got some points on the board. And again, gave ourselves a chance. But it's just these little things that add up to big things. These are the times when we're shooting ourselves in the foot and putting ourselves in bad position in this game. What we got to do about penalties? I don't know what's going on with the penalties.
I was actually listening to D-Money and Ariz on King's Insight earlier today on my break at work. And I wasn't really aware of this. The penalty's been an issue since Mario been there. Like, we've been in the bottom half, like, 80, 100 or something since he's been there, which I really didn't realize. I mean, we knew last year.
Like, got this.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't really know, like, and it'd be dumb. Like, watching the game, I'm like, how are we getting false starts and we at home?
At home, bro.
And they saying, at like, home. When the D-line shifts, we jump in. It'd be stupid stuff, like, because we had 9 penalties the other night, but it seemed like we had, like, 18.
Feel like it. It's because they were so crucial. And that's
it was crucial, yeah.
It was crucial ones that took points off the board, that slowed down drives, man. X, what you think, man? I felt like you was about to chime in on the
what was
you about penalties, bro?
I mean, you know, if you ever played sports, football particularly, penalties are bad discipline. I don't even know. I don't know if there's a way to discipline them. Is more. I mean, they get disciplined. So I don't know. Like at a point, it becomes self. You know, do you understand that? You know, if you get these penalties, man, it's gonna put us back. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, it was 3rd and 2, and then he comes in to get the penalty. Now it's 3rd and 7. That takes
and
away
I from feel the like Oklahoma probably you know got like 3 this year.
Yeah, that takes away
maybe
the
that's
play
from not playing as much.
First down. So
even Maui Noah getting like a penalty a game. Like he getting personal fouls.
Yeah, we talked about that one earlier before you joined us, but yeah.
Yeah, man, that's weird. I don't know what's up with that.
Some of them, man, I think, you know, could be questionable because at the same time, like even like refs, analysts be like, well, you know, it's questionable. You know what I'm saying? Because if that's the case, you could really call that penalty every play. You
know yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
Some of them are questionable, but then the ones that's real obvious is like, come on, man. Like, you know, you got to but like, again, Mario, you know, discipline is something he going to do, but I don't know.
It keeps happening.
Yeah,
what's pissing me off with this whole thing is all these damn false starts and you at home.
Yeah, those
that's
are
what
the
I
ones
just said.
That,
that's weird,
yeah,
man.
Those are the only ones that I have an issue with because, like, in this last game, right, we like I said, we had 9. I felt like 4 or 5 were honestly pretty bogus, but they were still crucial. You know, it's, and look, you got to fight the refs. Okay, cool. You know, every team thank God to get them. You know, Miami, I think maybe a little more than others because I mean, are we that much less disciplined than everybody else in the country? Or are they whistling us a little bit different? It's college, so I don't think.
But when they show the replay, they moving.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not talking about the false start. That's okay. What I'm saying. Everything but false start.
Okay,
is false start bothering me because that's 100% us, and this is happening at home. Like, I get it when you're throwing off our crowd noise and whatnot, but at home, we can't have false starts be a plaguing penalty. You know what I mean? So even if you take away the 4 or 5 that I thought were bad, you still had probably 5 false starts. And it's like, we can't have that. You know, players just gotta take personal, you know, ownership and, you know, in that front line. And that's his pride and joy. That's his baby, you know, him and Mirrorball.
Hey, which is what's confusing. Which is what's confusing to me.
Yeah, it's something that just you know down the stretch we just got to eliminate it. I don't know. Like I say, discipline's there. You go. You know, I'm sure they're running whatever. Blah blah blah. But the bottom line is, we just need to quit having it in games. That's
sometimes I feel. Sometimes I feel when stuff keeps happening and you midway through the season, that's just going to be what it is, especially when this has been happening for a long time. I don't want to think like that, but I just
And we've been winning in spite of, right? But imagine if you just stop. Imagine if you just clean it up. You know, imagine how much better you could be.
I agree. Like, it's procedural penalty. Those are the ones I don't like. It's, you know, those things that should be – we're supposed to be a team that is fundamentally sound. Like, that Notre Dame game, we didn't have a lot of penalties. I remember that. So, it's like we're capable because we've done it on Labor Day. We do it on Labor Day. We can go do it every week after that. My biggest issue with the penalties is this isn't like that old that guy who keeps getting the penalties on defense, like the guy who keeps getting targeting or one guy in the O-line. It's our stars getting a lot of these penalties. That's where I get frustrated with. Like, I'm used to not seeing, like, our best players getting penalties. Like, last game, Louisville game, it was all players getting penalties. The only other factor I could say is, was that game a byproduct of having two byes in 3 weeks? I won't make excuses, but I just figure it's fair to bring up because I ain't never seen a team have two byes in 3 weeks. Like, it was some of that.
I was wondering that too. Yeah.
It's unorthodox, but it's been a trend and it got to clean up. You know, I know what you're saying, means, but it's, to me, it's so correctable. I just hope that, you know, it's funny. Florida State, when they lost to Virginia, you know, Castellanos was like, oh, I think we needed to lose, which is crazy to me because they had no reason to feel like they were that damn good. You know, for us, I think the effort was there this game. I think the execution wasn't there, and the penalties were killers just in where they happened. So maybe, I'll never say you need a loss, but maybe the loss can kind of shock them into, like, all right, even though we played awful, we still could have won this damn game. So let's just stop playing awful. And then you don't have to feel this feeling again. So hopefully that can kind of shock the team into that next, you know, down the stretch for these last six games. Every single one of them are very winnable. oh, yeah, no doubt. Oh,
that ain't me.
It is you.
Oh, shit, my fault. I'm not even doing nothing, goddamn, my fault.
It's probably when your microphone laying on something. When you move it sounds like you wrapping Christmas gifts.
Oh, pause. I'm fighting for my life to keep my chef name. I got meatloaf going today.
He don't like that.
Maul only came on the show today to show us he still cooked.
just to show us that he cooking. Hey, I got my meatloaf. He called a commercial break.
I gotta go back.
In the middle of talking about, hey, yo, check me out, though.
Yeah, we see a spread.
Hey, check me out. I got one. All
right. Anyway, so we're coming to the fourth, man. Down 17-13. Game still in hand. Brown hit us with a couple of 10-plus yard runs, man. We kind of held him. One was on 3rd and 10, and he ran for like 12. You know, good play call, pretty smart. We tried to put Bain and Methodon on one side, and he was like, yeah, run to the other side then. And he did. And, they pulled a guard. He ran for a nice 10-yard gain there, 10, 12-yard gain. Then he had another run for another 10-plus. And then we stymied him for a little bit, but then that's when Bell, man. And shout out to bro, NFL player, first-round type dude. Man, that dude was 200-some pounds, 6'2".
Man, he gave Frederick a business Friday night, listen, boy. Man. My God. We was talking about Frederick earlier this year, too.
You know, the thing is, he's so hard to defend because of his ability. He's got size, right? So you're talking about a 6'2 guy. He's 200-plus pounds. I mean, he's physically got, you know, some build to him. But it's his ability to run after the catch that – Because Frederick also made some good plays on him, too. I got to give him that. I got to give Frederick some credit. It's hard to completely defend, you know, what they was doing. Because, like we talked about earlier in the show, it wasn't deep shots. It's these underneath crossing routes.
But he didn't get off all season like this, though.
I mean, he had 100. He averages 100 a game.
Okay.
He did it like about normal. This is the guy coming into the game that people are saying is the first round. So, like, I want to give him his credit. without – we still could have won a game, and we played against probably a first-round wide receiver. And Frederick made some plays, too. That's a hard guy to defend, especially when he's just going to run across the field. And then when we need help, you know, he's just weaving through traffic, bro, and he just got another get. And I think he tweaked his hamstring and still on that second touchdown ran through like 5-6 defenders, man. It was just credit to him. That was
Boys
probably
took,
our worst.
Boyser took some crazy angles Friday night, too.
Yeah, he was a little off on some of his angles. I was going to say that was probably the last defensive lapse I thought we took during the game, but it was crucial because that put them up 24-13. All right, then we come back. You know, we got one last chance to kind of put something back together. We get the ball back. You know, Tony take a little screen for like 9. Next play, Fletcher got a hold on a first down run by Marty Brown. And then the bad part about that was Beck threw another pick. That was his third one. But he got bailed out. They call a roughing on that. I didn't like that roughing. That was not no roughing the passer.
He gave it right back to him after that.
But he didn't disappoint the football guys. Wouldn't let it go.
He gave it ball don't lie.
Man, listen to this. So then he goes back and then throws his fourth.
No, that was his third.
Well, I'm saying technically
but also
four,
first,
but
yeah. He should have threw seven. He should have threw seven, but go ahead.
Right. And he threw it in the traffic. I was like, what is this throw? This is just a bunch of garbage around the football, forcing it to Tony and, you know, forcing it in the middle of the field again. And it just didn't make sense to me not checking for your outside options, man. If it's all that trash in the middle of the field, something got to be open on the outside. This is basic football. It's football one-on-one. Luckily, probably, you know, I have to change my vote for defensive MVP. The defensive MVP, Keontae Scott, he was in the backfield. He got sacked. You know, he was playing up in the line harassing, bro. And he caused that fumble. Poison scooped it. And luckily, Tony gets that. He scores off that reverse. And then, you know, offensive MVP does his thing, gets in. Then he goes back into the American Heritage form. Plays a little QB. Tosses one in the corner to CJ Daniels to make the game 24-21. You know, so here we are down 3. I was going to brush my teeth right for that, right after that pick. I was like, all right, bedtime. The old lady was in the living room. Ah, ah, ah. What the hell wrong with you? I know we done lost, so I'm going to bed, right? Like, I come back out and say, oh, they got a fumble, and then Tony scored and threw the 2-point. I missed all of it. I was like, damn, it should happen like that. And, you know, here we go. Opportunity to win, man. Playing as bad as that team's played. And this is why I'm optimistic about this team. That was a horrible game. We still in this game. In this game, bro.
Still in the game. After all those
miscues
and turnovers, we still
in this game. Defense holds up well. 29 had a couple of pick opportunities on that one, but he didn't convert. But it didn't matter. We forced a punt, get the ball on the 15. We end up getting pushed back. Another false start, right? Caused us to go back to 3rd and 13. But luckily, was able to convert the CJ Daniels for a first. Then we started to move a little bit. We hit Marion again for another first. Then you had Malachi catch one for not quite a first, but the next one he caught did convert to a first. You know, clock's ticking because we got the ball with about 4 minutes left, but there's a chance to win this game. About 4 minutes left at the time. Clock running down. Another short pass to CJ Daniels. And then, you know, Cloud's still running on us. And this was a little confusing to me. I felt like we got a little rushed, even though we had all our timeouts left. And I didn't understand that because we were draining the clock. Then we give Jordan Lyle for a little catch, convert the first. He stopped the clock because he stepped out of bounds. And we call our first timeout after that because we just did like a little dive up the middle with Jordan Lyle. It was about 36 seconds left at that point. And then that's when the game was over. You know, it seemed to be some kind of miscommunication and things just didn't seem like, you know, Lofton didn't seem like he was ready for the football yet. Beck was getting a little rushed on that play. And amazing play by the linebacker on that one. Because I didn't think he caught it.
Capers, a local kid.
Fingertip. What's his name? Because I do remember the name.
That's Capers.
Capers. Okay, yeah. TJ Capers, right?
Yeah, that's Capers. TJ Capers from Columbus.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I was like, when I saw the name, I was like, that name sounds familiar. Yeah, shout out to the hometown kid. Great play, man. Fingertip catch on that thing. I was like, ain't no way he caught it. I was confident he didn't catch it. But Bro caught that with the tips of his fingers and rolled it up into the game for us. You know, and
it was a great play by him.
It was a bad play by us, though.
Beck knowing who he's throwing the ball to damn near after he break the huddle.
Right. Yeah, and then like, he's getting rushed a little. Go ahead, D-Rob.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't attempt to try to run the ball at least, because I think they was, like I said, like as soon as you said hike, they kind of knew it we was going to pass. I don't know why he didn't probably try to little run, because you were in field goal range. Like you was on the 30. Get your little run in. You still got
two. The game was weird.
Yeah, I think they were trying to win the game.
Yeah, but I'm saying like you still got two timeouts and over 30 seconds left. So they're expecting you to probably we gonna go for a pass. No, run the ball. Probably you might sneak 6-7 yards up in there. Now they like, oh snap. Now you rush and you switch up what you're doing, because now they're in a pass defense. You know what I'm saying? So now you could possibly do some things depending on how that go. But it was. It's like when we lose like this, it upsets me. But at the same time, I've seen this team go up 14. I've seen, like, not last year, but the year before last, the first 2 years where they go up 14, they pack it in. Louisville scores like 40. 30, it's 38-13 at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? It is improvement, but it's the little things, man. Like, they got to cut, like I said, penalties. They got to cut down on penalties. And they just have to get a little bit creative with the play calling. I was just singing Dawson's praise against Florida State, against, you know what I'm saying, South Florida. I was singing the praises, and then he does that.
Yeah, what I think.
What
I didn't like was at the end of the game, like even when they explained the whole hot read, it felt like we was being passive, like we was letting Louisville dictate where we were going with the ball instead of, like D. Rob said, hey, we hit the 30 something. We might do this draw play so we can get 7 more yards to make sure we're in field goal range, or just whatever we're doing, we're attacking. And even if they blitz, like we don't, like it shouldn't even be, oh, we're going to go to this hot read. It didn't work. To me, that I just didn't like the mentality we had into this game. It felt like, I don't know how to explain it. It felt like Louisville unloaded the clip. They left, they did everything. They played almost a perfect game in the sense of they executed their game plan. We just didn't execute, and I just think for the rest of the season, it just got to be, man, we gotta act like we're the dominant team. We shouldn't be, you know, so concerned with what a hot read is and at that part of the game. It should be a quick read, throw it away. Like, why are we even throwing a 2-3 yard pass and burning time out anyway? Like, I just didn't like that was how the mentality was going into that drive. We should be aggressive. If you're gonna throw an interception, throw an interception in the end zone, right? The word, damn, at least he was going for 6. Or
yeah.
Throw an interception because we did a 2-yard hot read. That's the frustrating part.
I think when your quarterback's that fucking shook, bro, like we could say all we want to, but I mean, it's hard, bro. And you can't run the ball, like,
well, give it to Tony on the reverse. Something. You gave him it before. That's what I'm saying. That's where the creativity kicks in. Because I'm with you. Like, he's playing this bad. I hate that it ended with a pick. I'm like, of all fucking ways
on a 2 yard pass.
I would rather we go for it all four downs and don't get in, right? Like, not even kick the three. I would respect that. Like, all right, we just want to win this shit and get out of here because the game is weird. I want to get this game over with, get the hell back in the drawing board. But yeah, for a guy who's already thrown four interceptions, one he got bailed out on, a fifth one on, and he wasn't settled on that play. Like, he was getting rushed.
Like, on his back leg.
Yeah, he's on his back foot again, which is another bad habit of his. He's going to have to work out, man. Brother, if you don't like it, throw it away. It was already going to the sidelines. So just throw it out of bounds. You feel a little too rushed, you're a vet. Live to fight another play. So I think, I mean, all in all, just like, I think the effort was good. I didn't see quitting this team. You know, it's just turned down. It boils down to penalties and take care of the football.
Y'all think Vec has another game like this?
Oh, God, I would hope not.
Because he did this. He did the same shit against Florida with Georgia last year.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think he ever threw four picks before.
He threw four picks against Georgia. Against Florida last year.
I thought it was three. Okay. Well, then hopefully he got it for a year gone.
Same shit. I mean,
goddamn. I mean, yeah, no. Because
he really threw five. He damn near threw.
He threw five. Yeah. Four count against him. I certainly hope not, man. That was part of the reason we brought him in is he's a veteran, and we need those checks. If he takes these checks, you know, it just makes the right read. This game is Miami 31, Louisville 24. You know, that's how this game should have gone. Like, credit to them. They were a better team than I thought. And credit to them for just the way they schemed it. Like, cut blocks. You ain't hardly see them. Wow, I ain't seen that since like Georgia Tech a few years back. I was like, holy shit, they diving. They diving right off the rip.
You know, it's crazy, great. Too, on this 10-game home streak we had, the last team to beat us was fucking Louisville. College football crazy.
Go figure. Go figure. They, you know, and we own the series, but in recent years, they spook me.
It's 50-50.
A little bit. What, the all-time series?
Not all time, but like recent years.
The road team's been winning lately.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I think we got the all time series. But yeah, I mean, it's all about bouncing back after this one, and just cleaning up. You can take from this game that you played really poorly, gave the ball away a lot, and still had an opportunity to win. So hopefully they take that into this next week, and go ahead. What you about to say?
I was about to say, I think another problem is we literally only throw the ball to three people, bro. I don't know if that's Dawson. I don't know if that's a Beck who he's just comfortable with. Beck didn't do spring. He's just comfortable throwing who he throws to, but three people, bro. We throw to three people. And I think that's why a lot of people was asking, where's Trader at? Where's Trader at? We're going to need more weapons, bro. I mean, that was evident Friday night.
Where the hell is Trey?
Oh, man. Shit.
They
need to work on their rotations, bro. They need to work on their rotations, bro. Like, I'm not liking that, man. Like,
even on defense, these boys been playing like the whole game, every game so far.
And I don't know why.
They've been playing every play. Like, Mesidor, he banged up already.
Like, no,
that wasn't me, Larian. But he banged up. Like, I mean, they playing the whole game. Like, we don't see subs.
Yeah. I think that's crazy on the D-line. I think that's insane on the D-line.
No, you know what? But the thing is, with the D-line, I don't –
Did Lightfoot play Friday?
I think he played like five snaps.
I think
he might play like five snaps. My thing is, I don't have a problem with the rotation on the D line because I think our backups they get in. Can we have our certain NASCAR packages and you know what I'm saying? We have all that type of stuff. Like I said,
man,
my problem
is five snaps. They ain't rotating, bro.
Yeah, my whole thing is the rotation at wide receiver. I just think, man, I don't know what it is. So I pulled it up, right? So at wide receiver, this is crazy. Daniel, 60 snaps. Tony, remind you, offensively, we had 63 snaps, right? So wide receiver, Daniel, 60 snaps. Tony, 57 snaps. Keelan Marion, 40 snaps. Moore, 7 snaps. JoJo, 1 snap. And Tony Johnson, 1 snap, right? Now, on the D-line, Reuben Baines, 68 snaps. Mesidor, 52 snaps. Armando Blunt, 31 snaps. Marquise Lightfoot, 8 snaps. Booker Pickett, 5 snaps. Herger Scroggins, 1 snap. I'm not – I would rather Bane take away like 8 to 10 of those snaps, right, and give him the Lightfoot. Give Lightfoot at least 15 to 20 snaps a game. At D-tackle, it was Amar Moten, 51 snaps. David Blake, 44 snaps. Justin Scott, 7 snaps. I don't know what happened, but Scott should have got a few more snaps than that, right? 7? At linebacker, Teray, yeah, he had 7 snaps. I didn't even see Justin Scott in the game.
I saw him in a play, but I didn't realize 7. He was that low.
Yeah, yeah. At linebacker, I'm okay with it, but I think that Pruitt needs more snaps. So Teray had 52, Bassaint 51, Popo 22, Chase 15, and then Pruitt had 2. I don't know if you would take some of those snaps away from. I guess they like Chase Smith. So I don't know where Pruitt could. I mean, he plays mostly on special teams. He does play, but I want to see him more in that defense. Then at DB, Keontae Scott, 66 snaps, right? Frederick, 47, Lucas, 45, Connor, 29, and Damari Brown, 17. I think Brown needs at least 20 to 25. You could have took away some of those snaps from Frederick. Lucas, I'm okay with the 45. And then at safety, it's like Poyser, 66, Jacoby Thomas, 66, but you only give Bryce Fitzgerald 6 snaps. Why? Like, that's your playmaker. That is your playmaker at safety.
Right.
So it's like you play them all these snaps against Florida State and all these, but Louisville, you only give them 6 snaps. Like, that's I'm not liking that much. I'm not the all offensive line. I don't care about that. That's good. Tight end is Lofton and Ballman. I'm okay with that. At running back, I mean, you have – it's kind of even. I mean, Fletcher had 32. Jamar Brown, 21. Jordan Lyle, 20. It didn't seem like Lyle got 20 snaps, but he did. And, yeah, that's really it. So, my discrepancy is just the wide receiver snaps. It's just you need more than 3 people with more – like that with only 40 snaps. Like, nah, man. Moore and JoJo need more snaps.
Yeah, I've been kind of screaming about it for a little while now with the D line. I mean, these are big boys, man. You know, Mesidor lost some weight and Bane lost some weight, but you know, all that fighting and running and chasing all damn night, like, cut them some slack, bro. Get them out of there a little bit. Just spell them. I mean, yeah, I want my best defensive lineman out there, but I don't think he needs to play 68. I think he can play 50. And I think we got the depth there with Malik Bryant. You know what I'm saying? These are guys that have proven that they can make plays. So it's not like you're worried about if these guys can contribute. Cole McConathy, you trusted him last year. He's here. Again, I'm not saying these guys need to cut these snaps in half, but get these big boys some breathers. Get them off the field for a few plays. Just get them. I think we got too much depth at D-line to see such little rotation. That's just, you know, offense, like with the wide receivers, I do agree. I'd like to see, a little more Josh Moore. They trusted him early. JoJo, I don't know what the situation on that is. If X come back, he had to step out. Maybe he can speak on it. But, that I'm kind of tired of hearing about it, too. Like,
yeah, he wearing number 1.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal with all that shit is. I'd like to just be done with that whole story for the year. Like, either play him or just come out and say why you ain't going to play him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because everybody's just like, why? Why? What's going on with this?
Because obviously that's a huge – I mean, I don't know how he's
looking. We heard all about him.
Yeah, that's a huge weapon.
Lamar Jackson asked what JoJo Trader was at.
Bro, I saw that, bro.
on Twitter.
And he's like, not getting in the game.
He's not even playing. He's saying, what happened to JoJo Trader? Come on. Like, I think it's a distraction. So I honestly think he should put it to bed, period. Even if you got to be as blunt as JoJo got to work his way out the doghouse with him. Okay, cool. Now we can quit at least asking about it. You know, but it's just like, I feel like that is like, you know, when you got the NFL MVP tweeting, where the hell JoJo Trader at? That's the issue. You know what I mean? So I like to see that, you know, kind of put to bed, period. But the playoff, what is it, the first college football playoff bracket come out? That just happened.
So,
that was just
so,
a projection, so though.
That was just projection.
What is this going off on the rankings, bro?
Yeah. Yeah, going off the AP poll. So obviously the top four, Ohio State number one, Indiana number two, Texas A&M three, Alabama number four, and then the first matchup, the 5-12 matchup is Georgia, South Florida. The 8-9 matchup would be Miami and Ole Miss, which will probably be the best matchup out of all those. Then you got BYU and Oregon, 6-11, and then Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech, 17. I think that might be the most exciting matchup, Georgia Tech and Vanderbilt. That might be the most exciting because of Diego Pavia and Henry. Yeah, but I think the best matchup out of those first four games would probably be Ole Miss and Miami.
Yeah. I like that Vanderbilt Georgia Tech one too, though. Black and gold versus black and gold, two nerd schools. That'd be kind of cool if it plays out that way.
Yeah,
it's still early, you know, and the fans talk about our ranking and all that. Like, none of that shit going to matter. If we handle our business, clean up the season 11-1, even if we don't get to play for the ACC, you're still going to get in to the playoffs at 11-1. Like a Miami 11-1 team that was ranked number two at some point, we're in the play. I know it's a way we may not play for the ACC because of just how the schedule sets up, but I also don't think these teams are going to go unscathed anyways. So we'll just see. I saw like the scenarios. I'm like, I don't want to get that far down the road. Let's just go 1-0. And just worry about winning every week. You win every week in the playoffs, you got a chance to. The bye would be beautiful, of course, but Ohio State didn't win their conference, and they lost two games and won it all. So you just worry about going 1-0 and getting a chance to play for it all, because I think this team could win it all. So just play for it. I guarantee you this, they don't care they didn't win the Big Ten last year. I promise you that. They won the big dog, the Natty. And ain't nobody going, oh, y'all, yeah, okay, you take the Big Ten, we'll take the Natty. They beat the team. Yeah. They beat the team that won the Big Ten on the rematch. So, you know, revenge could be yours one way or the other. Quick look forward to Stanford. They just beat Florida State. This is a team we're favored by 30, I believe, 30.5, I think is the spread right now. This is a team that's pretty beat up. They're playing better football in general. I think is one reason they was able to keep Florida State in check. I can't lie to you. I did not see Florida State losing to Stanford. Them boys now lost four in a row.
Bro, ain't no way they lost that shit, bro.
Man, look at that. But they beat Bama. Yeah, but they beat Bama, though, Measy. So that's all that matters. They gonna put that shit up in the rafters, but we beat Bama. I ain't spending too much time on them, and they not that good. However, they have been pretty explosive, but I think the jig is up. And Stanford's done a good job. They ran by Andrew Luck, and you know, he's over there with them. And who's the head coach for those guys now? Go ahead, D-Raw. You about to say something? Let me look that real quick.
Talk about for Stanford. Frank Wright.
Right.
He's the interim. He's not even the coach. He's the interim.
Until they just find got what they want, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen that. That's dope, though.
It's dope, though. I'm telling people, people are like, oh, it's Stanford. Listen, you have Andrew Luck, right? And you have Frank Wright. And granted, they kind of started out slow, but they're what? They won three games now? I think it is now. I think they might have won three games.
They lost to Hawaii, BYU.
Bro, they've won more ACC games than we have.
That's happening, man. We beat better teams, damn it. I ain't gonna let nobody change that fucking narrative. No. I know they're trying, but
I got you.
Hey, no, again, no. It's weird because we can win out and still not make good.
That was kind of creep statement right there, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but my thing is like, I think that I think that Andrew Luck, he's got the financial backing. He got the people that's going to get in the money. Tiger Woods, all them people, they want to invest in them. He has the financial backing. He's going to hire a good coach. Regardless, if he keeps Frank Wright or if he hires somebody, he's going to hire a good coach, and they're going to develop. If they get a quarterback, that they need, they will win 7-8 games consistently for Stanford. Or they might could win more, because we know when David Shaw, he was winning 10-11 games. You know what I'm saying? And
that shit ain't going to help Saturday, though.
No, I get you, right? But you know what? We saying that, Measy, but I don't have confidence we're gonna beat them by 30.
Oh,
there's no reason why we should, and there's no reason why we shouldn't, because they're gonna be missing their starting quarterback, they're missing their starting running back, they're missing their left guard, they're missing that safety that put Castellanos out the game. He's gonna be missing the game.
Thirty's a lot of points, I feel that.
But
30 is a lot of points. But you know what? We've done
an anemic offense as well, though.
Like, yes,
they can't score.
Their offense is not that good. Yeah, their offense is not that good. Like, they can't score. And if we are who we think we are, it should be easily 40 something to 10, 50 points. It should easily be that.
And I still think. We scored what, 42-17? Oh no, that ain't enough. 42-13. Yeah, we just gonna miss the spread. I got it. 42-13. Take Stanford.
That's what I'm saying. 30 points.
I got it.
But it happens. It does.
Yeah.
We might just cover the 30-point spread.
It's a lot. But we beat South Florida by how much?
What's that?
How much we beat South Florida by? How much we beat South Florida by?
30, I wanna say.
30 something.
It was. That's what I'm saying. This depends on Beck, man. Their offense is very it's just not explosive at all. They're making the best of what they got. You know, they got that quarterback Elijah Brown. I think he's a redshirt freshman, played at Mater D. You know, and he's a young kid kind of trying to figure it out, but offensive line banged up, running back, like you mentioned, is out. They got a good corner Colin Wright. He's probably the best player on their team. You know, he's been a starter for the last two seasons. He's got like 106 tackles, 10 deflections, and 4 interceptions. And he's captain of the team. So, you know, he'll be a challenge for, you know, one of our guys on the outside, depending on how much they move him around. And then they got what's his name? Josiah Galvin, inside linebacker. He's a senior transfer from Northern Iowa, 6'2", 230. So he brings some size, some instincts, some experience, and a sound tackler. So defensively, you know, I think they'll be sound, but I think this will be a game where we should be able to pull off that runs that we've been trying to fucking get off. And if not, if you're listening, Coach, I know somebody passed along to you, just try reverse. Or just try a counter or a toss, not a reverse. Excuse me.
I want to see some different runs this week.
Some what now?
I want to see some different runs this week.
Yeah, a little nuance to the game, Coach. That's all we ask.
Now's the time to try the shit out.
Yeah, a little nuance. Just a little nuance, man. And they got another kid. Wide receiver Caden High. He come from South Carolina State. And, you know, he's kind of a quicker wide receiver. He's, you know, but that's kind of the extent of their kind of top guys, top players on the team. So this should be a game where, honestly, if we take care of the ball, because they're not Louisville, if we just take care of the ball and only get a ball away once, right, I'm going to give you one, we should handle them by pretty close to that 30-point margin.
I don't want that one to be from Beck, though, goddamn.
Yeah, it probably is me. I don't see no fumbles. Maybe Lyle, he did call for one up at the end there that he recovered himself.
I think the spread. I mean, if you say 29 points, is when each quarter by 7 to 10, you get it. It don't got to be 40s at the halftime running clock. But
No. Yeah. It, like I said, it sounds big, but it honestly – like I said, we beat USF to the same tune, and they made some plays, but We just didn't, and we had the ball away twice to them. We had two interceptions to them. But one thing about USF too, and I think this is the key, which we've done really well all year, is whole teams in the red zone. And that's an issue. It has been an issue for USF. They've been doing pretty good since us. That's their top 25 team now as well. Louisville also got ranked after this one. That's the thing too is, you know, I seen some fans like doing jumping out the window. Oh, we always do this. No, but this ain't what we always do. Actually, it's more like 9-0 and then crumble towards the very end of the season. This is earlier than normal. Man, put your big boy britches on. Stop all that pouting and crying. If you're watching the game, we are a better team, and it don't have to go down the tubes. All right? And I'm not buying into that shit. Even I, like I said, I picked this as a loss, and then I picked us to win out. I think some of y'all just bugged out because you thought we was going to lose to Florida, we was going to lose to Notre Dame, and since that didn't happen, you just thought there was no more challenges. But I said it, you know I said it in the group chat, you're just not going to see a bunch of undefeated teams no more. Last year's champ lost two games.
I don't remember the last time that shit done happened, for real.
Yeah, it's just and it's because it's more parity across the landscape of college football, which is how it used to be and how it should be. You got to fight a little more. You got to be prepared to face good teams. And you Miami, you always gonna get everybody best swing. So you know that doesn't mean we can't dominate games, but we can't call Louisville a bad team when they only lost one game. You know, to a ranked team. Yeah, right. That, you know, by 3 points or whatever. And they've been kind of banged up themselves. So, and we know the coach schemes well, and that defense is a lot better than it was, I would say, last year even. So that's a good team that we lost to. Should we have won? Absolutely. I'm making no excuses for the loss. We should have won that game. That's not a bad team. Bottom line is buckle up, get back to a 1-0 mentality. And just tweak some things. And, you know, every week we've said, and Mario's repeated echoed these sentiments, we still got better to get. We still got more we can improve upon. So I think it's even easier to impress upon what needs to be improved upon after a loss. So hopefully this just galvanizes the team. Everybody get their hair right. We clean up these dumbass false start penalties, you know. And just be the difference that it takes to get over the top and win these games. So that's all I got, man. Y'all boys got any final thoughts before we get up out of here?
No, that's all I got.
Man, just like I said, score prediction? I mean.
Oh, for Stanford?
Yeah. I mean, we can give a score prediction. I'm saying.
I got 38-13.
38-13? Okay, I'm going to go 45-10, right? For me, if it's anything other than 30 points, I'm going to be disappointed, you know, to be honest. But it better not be no 10-point game or anything like that, because then I'm a really – so this game really does nothing for me. We're supposed to beat them big by a lot, and hopefully we do it. That's all.
No doubt. I'll go
Yeah, if we win by 10, it's some trouble on the horizon.
I'll go give me 42-13. So, like I said, I think it's 30.5 is the spread. So, you know, do with that as you will. I've been missing all of my little parlays by such bullshit. I cannot believe Jameson Williams couldn't get 25 yards last night. And it's funny, too. He posted on Instagram, like, the crying Jordan face and the dude on the couch just leaning his head there. Because I think he's saying, bro, they got me out here just running for nothing. I was like, amen. It's on the track meet, man. But anyway, that's it and all that. But, yeah, give me 42-13, Miami. Mar, you want to give a score prediction when we get out here?
Yeah, I'm gonna go 38-7. I think defense has a standout game, kind of shuts down what they do. And I just need the procedure penalties to go down, man. That's what I'm more worried about. I ain't worried about the score. I want to see these procedural penalties, the penalties we can control, get fixed. Like, I can understand the hustle penalties, but them pre-snap ones, those got to stop.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah. And with that, Maul, like, I'm sorry, like, they're also, like, in the bottom half as far as one of the most penalized teams. Like, they average, what, 6.7? We average 8.6. So we literally average just two more penalties than they do a game.
8.6 is crazy as hell.
Yeah, 8.6 is we're near the bottom. Like we're up there with Pittsburgh, South Carolina, Wake Forest. Like we up there with them. So we just need to clean that up, man. Like you clean up these penalties. I get it. Sometimes they call BS penalties, and it's like, yo, what the hell was that? But yeah, man, we got to do that.
Ones we can control. That's the key.
Yeah,
all starts, and that's easy to control. Just come on, bro. Yeah, home. No snap count. Don't budge.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? It's simple. Anyway, all right, we're going to get up out of here. We'll reconvene with you guys after we beat Stanford ass. Dry your eyes. The motto's still the same. See you in the playoffs, bitch. Peace.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.